Caller 10. Let's give away some Caps tickets to you right now. 800-636-1067. You're winning two. You're going to see the Capitals Tuesday, January 13th against Montreal. Every fan in attendance that night, including you, are going to get a Dylan Strome bobblehead. This honors one of the best Caps on the ice this year. For the complete Cap schedule and tickets, go to thefandc.com/events. We're brought to you by the law firm Kondorian Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We'll cover the NFL and the Commanders on the Beltway Blitz today, but we start you off ahead of a Caps game tonight, looking for two in a row at home on the ice. Katie Florio, Capitals Radio Network, joins us now. Katie, give us a little info on the matchup tonight with the Stars and what we need to know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good one. I mean, there's no doubt the Stars are having an excellent season, second in the league, only behind the Colorado Avalanche, who are having a season that's unheard of, just four regulation losses here in January for this season. So safe to say, the Stars are doing really, really well. As Carvery put it this morning, unfortunately, though, he thinks they'll come in even angrier tonight because they're coming off of that 6-3 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes last night. Dallas is on their longest road trip of the season right now. It started in Carolina and now Washington, and then they'll head out west. But you hope that, again, strong team, but you can maybe capitalize on the fatigue. Every time you get a team that's on the second of a back-to-back, you know, whether they admit it or not, their legs are probably a little bit more tired, a little slower, and so you just hope that Washington, who is a little bit more rested, can capitalize on that tonight.
And Katie, Washington lost 9 of their last 13 games. I think it's 6 out of their last 9 as well, kind of in that streak. It just feels like every step forward has kind of been a couple of games where it's been a step back. They haven't played as well. What's kind of the difference between when it's going good and when it's not?
I mean, that's a great question that I think everyone is still looking for the exact answer to. I think, you know, the problem this year is Washington not being able to sustain consistency. It's been since early December since they had back-to-back wins. And so, you know, you got to think, okay, what is that issue? I think sometimes it's lack of goal scoring and lack of offensive production, especially, you know, from some of the top guys. Of course, I say that as they're coming off of a 7-4 win on Monday night. And so that was, you know, great to see finally a big surge of offense. I know Carvery has talked a lot about some defensive breakdowns and just some miscommunication between the D-core that, for the most part, has always been so rock solid. And so for one reason or another, there's just been maybe a little bit of miscommunication or just a little bit of inconsistency this season that we didn't see last year. I don't think, you know, goaltending is anything to worry about. Charlie had an excellent performance Monday night. I know Logan is winless in his last three, but still, there were so many games where he saved the team early on in this year, and I still think, you know, that's the Logan Thompson that we get every night as well. And so I think the Capitals are fine. There's nothing to worry about. There's no panic. But again, now it's just about finding that consistency, because the Eastern Conference is so tight. You lose 3-4 in a row, you know, that's, you're going to start to see yourself in a hole.
Katie, we appreciate it. Thank you so much, as always.
Yep, have a good day.
We'll be listening to Katie Florio and the crew on the Caps Radio Network tonight. The game is 3 hours away from starting right here on The Fan at about 7:10. Let's talk football. And we'll do that with Eric Edholm of NFL Media joining us on Grant and Danny. Eric, of these 6 playoff games over 3 days, Saturday through Monday this weekend, which is your favorite?
Good question. I think, obviously, Packers-Bears, both games have been pretty thrilling, so I think we could expect something similar, something pretty close. I think the Bears are going to be a little tight in this one. We'll see. Chargers-Patriots has a chance to be really good. I'm also really excited about Bills-Jaguars just because I think the Bills' desperation against the Jaguars team that I think has been a little bit undersold or underappreciated to this point, or at least the back half of the season, they've been great. So, Yeah, I mean, you can make a case for any of the games being pretty entertaining, but I think those are probably my three favorite.
Just interesting, Eric, that the guys that we kind of consider universally in the big four right now of quarterbacks, be it Mahomes, Burrow, and Lamar Jackson,
yeah,
three of them aren't in the playoffs, those guys, and then Josh Allen is the seventh seed, maybe one of the weaker Buffalo teams overall that they've had, especially if they struggle defensively. You know, I know the narrative is going to be if they don't win this year, then what does that mean for Josh Allen? I don't know how much just because of what we just mentioned, but go into that, some of our best quarterbacks are at home watching this postseason.
It's a different looking field, right? Yeah. Even the Detroit Lions have had a huge impact on the last two playoffs, even if they lost their first game last year, as you guys well know. I mean, they fought hard to get that number one seed. So, you know, it just has a different feel, a wide open feel. Denver is being doubted as a number one. Seattle is being doubted as a number one. You know, we can make a case for some of these wild card teams. I mean, even the Eagles, last year's champions, I think are being, I don't know if it's disrespect or what, but kind of pushed to the side in the discussion of who can win this thing. So it has a strange feel to me this entire season. I do the power rankings and every week I'm pulling my hair out like, I don't know who's number one. And, you know, I can barely make out the top 25 with any kind of certainty. So I love that fact. But to your point, the firepower at the most important position, you know, may not be what it was, even if we have Drake May and Matt Stafford, the two presumptive MVP favorites at this point.
Crazy stat I saw today. I want to get your reaction to. Matt LaFleur at 46 is the oldest coach in the NFC playoffs.
Weird.
Does that not make me feel old? My goodness, I'm older than he is. So that says something. But yeah, I mean, and Packers fans are I don't know, not all of them necessarily, but I think a lot of them are saying, hey, if they don't win this game, then maybe time to move on. And Pittsburgh fans are looking at Mike Tomlin and saying maybe he's the next to go after Harbaugh. It's crazy to me. This coaching cycle ended up being way more dramatic, or it has so far, and could be even more so. Like, what happens to the Bills? You mentioned Josh Allen's future. Like, is Sean McDermott 100% safe? I don't know. I mean, I have a lot of people that I talk to there, and nobody's really bringing that point up, but I don't imagine they'd be broadcasting it either. So it just, there's a lot of instability in coaching. We just had, you know, a long tenured coach go down. Now he may get another job very soon here, but still the it's a shakeup from what we're used to.
Yeah. Did Harbaugh surprise you? I know a lot of my Baltimore friends and family were, you know, saying it was going to happen. I just thought they were going to do them in Pittsburgh, the Spider-Man meme forever, where they're just going to have continuity at all times for, you know, until those guys were toes up 6 feet under. But I was pretty surprised they finally made the move, Eric.
And could you imagine, like, let's say that, and again, I'm not trying to avoid your question, but let's say the Texans beat the Steelers or even blow them out. I mean, does Mike take a year off and go to TV? I mean, that possibility has been floated. You know, it wasn't that long ago that Giants fans thought Tomlin would be their coach. Now it may be Harbaugh if he wants that job. And, yeah, I kind of thought that there would be a way to kind of smooth it all over. And, look, these guys have had some pretty great success, even if the playoff wins haven't been there. You know, they'll find a way to make it work. That was kind of my thinking. But I knew there was talk about it. I just, you know, and especially with the relationship of Eric DaCosta and Harbaugh, I kind of thought they would try to bandy together and work to make this thing work. But, you know, at some point, it's almost like Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Like, it on some level, it almost felt like it had kind of run its course a little bit. But, again, to your point, dude's had a lot of success, even if this year went off the rails a little bit.
So if I was to say one half of one more coach being out, would you go over under? You mentioned McDermott with the Bills. I think Tomlin in Pittsburgh
is
still interesting. And then, I mean, the McDaniel thing in Miami, pending Harbaugh, I guess. Would you go over under one half of one more dismissal?
Yeah, my feeling with Miami is that McDaniel's going to stay. We just obviously, I think in the last hour, heard officially that Todd Bowles is going to stay. So I'm going to eliminate those from the discussion. I think LaFleur is probably not going anywhere. So I wouldn't really count that one. I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's probably not happening. So we're really kind of focusing on McDermott and Tomlin. And, man, back to what we were saying about Harbaugh, part of me thinks, are they really going to make this drastic a move, especially Pittsburgh, given the crazy stat of all crazy stats is them having three coaches since 1969, right? And I think there's a certain amount of pride that exists in that organization because of that, rightfully or wrong or misguided or not, I don't know. But I'll say I'll say under, but I'm not confident in it.
Complicated question, but bear with me. Of the 14 teams that are in the postseason, all right, so 12 are in action this weekend, who's a team that nobody's really talking about that could actually make a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, Texans are one because of that defense, and they have a quarterback in C.J. Stroud that has at times looked the part and looked like he can be an upper echelon quarterback. It hasn't been that way all season long, and, you know, they've tinkered with the offensive line. They've had backfield injuries and, you know, just sort of developing that offense a little bit. But if he plays solid to good football and takes care of the ball and doesn't turn it over, and that defense does what it has done most of the season, I think you have to throw him in there, especially in this year. You know, Buffalo, because of Allen, you can't dismiss, but the Jaguars are one that, man, I don't know if it's just the expansion label that's sort of stuck with them for, you know, 2-3 decades now, but or if people are just looking, remembering last year or doubting a first-year coach in Liam Cohen. But man, I mean, I guess I don't know if Trevor Lawrence can win 4 games in the playoffs, but he's been pretty darn good. He's played as well as he has since the end of the 2022 season when they were on a roll and ended up winning a playoff game and then giving the Chiefs a pretty good battle.
Last one, Eric. I want to localize the combo to the Commanders for a second. How do you think the next few weeks play out for Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a great question. Is there a college opportunity for him? Is he looking elsewhere? Does he get a head coaching, a legitimate interview somewhere? Or does he try to latch on with somebody else? And, you know, I don't know. He's got his fans around the league and also some people who have seen that, you know, things didn't go according to plan this year and that there was some real disagreement over how best to protect Jaden and keep him upright and make the offense fluid and all that. And I don't know. That's a great question because he's one of those guys that's young enough and has enough sort of name value jobs, I think, to put him on a lot of people's radars, and he'll be an instant hit with some fan bases. But, you know, I think others may be more suspicious.
Eric, appreciate you as always, buddy. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right, you guys too. Thank you.
Be well. Hit that Local 53 sounder, please. Our pal Nick Ackridge, PFF, to join us here. Nick, should Cliff Kingsbury have been moved on from?
It's a tough question. If with Quinn staying, I say no. If it was to be a full, you know, clean slate move, get rid of everybody, then yes. I think him being the one to go doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, while still keeping the head coach. But if they were all to go, I'd be okay with it.
What direction should they go in now?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're trying to go all in on the San Francisco Shanahan McVay kind of route, and I don't hate it. It's the style of offense that I do prefer. It's proven to be very successful in the NFL. It's just tough to kind of find a guy like that can, you know, replicate that. It kind of looks like they're a bit desperate right now to, like I said, recreate what, you know, Adam Peters had in San Francisco. So that's kind of the direction that it looks like they're going in. You know, if they find the right guy at offensive coordinator, then this looks like a brilliant move, and it could really kind of elevate this team to the next level. But it just seems like a big risk right now.
Yeah, it's very bold. It's a big swing, and it's going to be a boom or bust thing that's going to probably make or break Dan Quinn's tenure in a lot of ways. I'm with you on the Shanahan scheme and you know, the idea of going with the Shanahan disciple. Here's what I've thought about, though. Most of the guys you'd be bringing in are first-timers, right? They are inexperienced, or they are guys that have very limited experience, like a Mike LaFleur, and there's risk and there's question there. I wonder if Quinn, with his last chance here as a head coach, is willing to entrust somebody inexperienced with the job, or does he go the route of a more seasoned guy that he's more familiar with and maybe less the up-and-coming Shanahan type?
Yeah, it's tough because kind of either way, it's, you know, I mean, if you're an up and coming guy and you're kind of looking at this job, you're like, I don't know, is this really something I want to kind of tie myself to? With what it looks like is, you know, like we said, this is a bold move. And if it doesn't pull off, then Quinn is likely gone next season. So do you really want to tie yourself to that as a young guy who could possibly, you know, really develop a future and try to get head coaching jobs? But then again, you go to the more veteran route. And, you know, again, we've been looking at a, you know, possibly a retread, and then you're doing this all over again in a year or two. So Like we said, it's bold, it's risky, and they absolutely have to nail this for Quinn to keep his job and, you know, kind of get the Commanders back to where they want to be.
Nick, we'll be asking you this a million times, I think, as the offseason progresses and some of these, you know, hires materialize. But right now, let's just say it is a Shanahan-style scheme that's coming, quote-unquote. What personnel do they need that they don't have to make that happen, hit the ground running?
Yeah, I don't really think they need much. I think this personnel kind of fits it. I think this offensive line, you need a very athletic offensive line to kind of be able to move horizontally quickly, and that's why Trent Williams has been so effective there. And Connolly, his best attribute is his athleticism. So I think that's a good fit there. I like Cosme there as well. So I think the O-line kind of fits it pretty well. As for the receivers, you know, receivers we've seen in the Shanahan system, you don't really need a stud all-around receiver to kind of flourish in that system. The biggest thing is tight end. And right now they don't really have that. I like Sanat. You can kind of use him in that use-check role that San Francisco does. I think that would be a good fit, but they don't really have that, you know, that number one tight end guy that can really threaten defenses. So I think that would be the big position that they would have to look for. But the rest of it, I feel like it's kind of a pretty decent fit.
Any DC names you've heard that you like?
That one's an even tougher one because, again, if you're looking at Quinn kind of getting guys that are similar to his mindset and guys that he's worked with in the past, none of those really excite me because I think that the Dan Quinn system is very outdated, and I think it's time to really kind of move on from that sort of style. So, you know, maybe someone like, you know, the Jets, previous Jets head coach, his name's
Jeff Ulbrich.
My mind right now. Yes, Ulbrich. He excites me a little bit. I like what he does. Obviously, the big home run would be Flores, but I don't see them kind of really getting involved in that. But DC, there's not really many guys that kind of excite me if Quinn is still kind of, you know, hands on and really involved in the defense.
Nick, awesome as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yes, have a good one.
Nick Hackridge, check him out. PFF. Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. All right, I want to give you the name I've been kind of kicking around as a OC option, and it's actually a guy who's already in the building. Would make a lot of sense, I think. Let's do that next on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Thank you to Toby for the update. So I've been thinking a lot about this, and one of my big concerns with the dismissal of Cliff Kingsbury is the lack of continuity for Jaden Daniels going into his third season. There's been a movement, it seems like, from people recently that I've noticed, Danny, to belittle how big of a deal it is when a quarterback has to enter a new system.
Yeah.
I see people say, oh, well, look at Drake May. New system this year didn't stop him. And they'll find these examples of where it worked out really well, which is possible. It can happen. But it is not the norm, and it is certainly not the majority of the time that happens. There are veterans. There are people like Kirk Cousins on that Netflix quarterback show with Kevin O'Connell who talk about how you could be 6-8, I'll say, not 6-7.
No,
6-8 games in to a season in a new offense as a veteran who's been in many offenses and still not really know everything as comfortably as you want to.
It doesn't feel intuitive, and it feels mechanical. It feels, you know, even if you can process it fast, you know in your head, that could have been faster, that could have been smarter, I could have seen something I didn't see there because I'm not used to it yet.
So there are different ways to view this, and I am open to this possibility that with guys like Jaden Daniels transferring colleges, Arizona State to LSU, and with his cerebral and intuitive as he is, and, you know, some of the tech at your disposal with the goggles he wears for 3D stuff and, you know, whatever else, it might be easier to make a transition into learning offense than it used to be. There was a time where there were no iPads, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure it has gotten more efficient and easier. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it is still crazy complicated and hard and difficult, especially for a young, and I'm still going to say he's young going into his third year, quarterback, to learn a new offense. And I think more often than not, it is a negative, not a positive. It is a setback. It is complicated. It is difficult. And it is not something that you know, happens seamlessly or super easy. Like, you know, people just want to point to May or whoever it is, right? So I say all that to say one of my reasons for not wanting to get rid of Kliff, with all of the issues I had with his offense, was frankly the continuity for Daniels going into a make or break year. He had this unbelievable first season. He had this fairly awful second season. He was not terrible when he played, but he was okay.
Just didn't look right. Out of rhythm, out of sorts, yeah.
And the year itself was a disaster because he was hurt so much. But now you're going into a third year where we're going to determine largely, fair or not, at the end of this thing, which Jaden's the real Jaden and how good is he and what is the ceiling and can he get back to superstardom MVP, Mount Rushmore conversation in the NFL. And in a year where you're going to be learning a new offense, I already hate that for him. It takes this pressure-packed season and it makes it more complicated and more difficult. All right, so you tracking me so far?
Yeah.
So I say all that to say I've been thinking about this as I see that Kingsbury is out and Tavita Pritchard is at Stanford and they are likely now to bring in a new OC and that means new quarterbacks, coaches, and all that. And I saw that David Blough's talking to the Detroit Lions soon or that they are interested in him and want him as their coordinator. And I was thinking, why wouldn't David Blough be a really good hire for them to be their OC? This checks a lot of boxes for me that I'm intrigued by.
Mm.
If you want continuity like I do, you have it. This is a guy that operated with Kliff as the assistant and then quarterbacks coach. So he knows Kliff's offense, the things that are good. Maybe he could incorporate some of them that you like, that Jaden likes. There could be plenty of shotgun for him. There could be some of the spread stuff that Kliff likes to do, okay? But maybe because it's not his baby and not his offense, and because he played in other more traditional offenses as a quarterback recently in the NFL, because he cut his teeth as a coach, you know, with guys like Ben Johnson, and he knows those other offenses, maybe he's less rigid, more malleable than Kliff, and he's willing to take some of Kliff with some of Ben Johnson, with some of the other offenses that he's been in, and kind of mold them all together, right? So I think you could have the continuity of a guy that, based on what I've been told, based on what I've seen Hard Knocks-wise and otherwise, Daniels has a very good relationship with. It's not like you're going completely outside of the building with some mystery option and you're wondering, how's Jaden going to hit it off with this guy? It's a Jaden guy who speaks the same language as him, who knows him well, that he's already got a rapport with, who smooths over the transition out of Kliff, but literally was with Ben Johnson previously, has been in that Detroit offense, is a shotgun, marrying play action, under center, traditional offensive thinker. And the last thing I'll say is he is a young, ascending, up-and-coming, like Nationals-like rock star that you're hiring.
So it'd be year early instead of, you know, you missed the boat.
Exactly. He is only 30. He is just getting started. He's never even been a quarterback's coach for a full season. So, yes, you are. It's a little bit of a risk. He is green. He is inexperienced. Perfect way to say it. It's a year or maybe too early rather than a year or too late. But do you wish you would have done that with Sean McVay maybe? You know, where you went a little early with him, you know, and not lost him? So my case is we're talking about all these other names. I'll tell you right now, if names like Darryl Bevell are coming up, kick me in the shins.
Yeah. Is Kliff still available?
If Kliff's going to go with a guy he's comfortable with, Bevell or one of these dudes, again, just fire him. You know, then end this charade a year early and to put me out of my misery. But if he wants someone he's comfortable with, if that's important, then there are a few guys that would excite me more than a guy in their building right now in Blough, who's probably going to end up the OC of the Lions if he walks.
It's a pretty good case. And here's what I don't know. And I'm going to try to espouse this in as simple way as I can. In Kliff Kingsbury's language, because that's what this is. It's like learning a new language, right? If you're sitting there doing what I do, my Spanish stinks. It's rudimentary. I took it in high school. And me, like, water, what's the word? Oh, yeah, it's agua. It's already too late. You don't speak Spanish, right? Because people are having conversation in Spanish, are already 55 words ahead. I'm going, what's the word I want to say? Oh, yeah. Like, I have to go, this word means this in Spanish. Either the word is the word or it's not, and you can't speak the language. In Kliff Kingsbury's language, I'm making a word. Let's say turbo means an option route for a slot guy. Can you make turbo an option route for a slot guy in this new system? But David Blough can make the language translate to some degree to make it easier. Otherwise, if you have to learn a new language, it doesn't matter who's teaching you. To a degree, you've got to sit down and learn the new language. If turbo meant one thing in one system and turbo means something totally different in another, then you got to sit down and do your Duolingo or whatever and figure it out, and the growing pains are going to be there. But if there's a way to convert those sorts of things and ease that transition, that is a great case for a guy that's a really well thought of young offensive mind. That's somebody that was playing really recently. You've seen this trend with head coaches and OCs all over the place. This would be a pretty sharp thing to do. Now, you know, again, you put in a couple of great years, you're probably a head coach somewhere, but we can jump off their bridge when you get there.
Here's the knock. Here's the argument against it. I'll play devil's advocate for myself. If you're Dan Quinn, this is your last OC hire if it goes badly.
Oh, yeah.
You never get another shot at this thing. And because the clock has started, because you have to be right, you are probably less inclined to roll the dice on a guy that's never done it, who you're putting a lot on the plate of someone you have never seen eat before, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so if it doesn't go well, if Blau's not up to it, if he's the next great coordinator, but it's a year early and he really can't do it that well, and he's drinking out of a fire hose or whatever, well, now you're screwed, and you probably just cost yourself a job, which is why I think it's possible that he just goes with a retread or someone who's done it or someone who's less exciting. Like, if you think about it, because I was thinking about this today, he did this in Atlanta, Quinn did, where he blew out two coordinators before. And if you notice, when you go back and see what he did the most, like 50% swing, just land the golf ball in the middle of the fairway hiring you could ever do. It was the safest, nubbiest, you know, like, but, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but like, he hired Dirk Cutter. Like, that was his answer. And Cutter, I think, had a relationship with Matt Ryan at the time, and you were trying to appease him, perhaps. Like, there was a little bit of that, possibly. But that was what he did the last time he was in this situation. Back's against the wall. Walls are caving in on you a little bit. You're blowing out coordinators. You don't like the trend. Now I got to make a hire, but my job could be on the line. You know, Terry, I'm in the jackpot, Terry. I'm in the jackpot. Right?
It's a great bit.
He quite literally, you know this, you don't golf, but you get the reference. Like,
sure.
You can either try to hit the ball up on the green, or you just go, you know what?
I'm going to lay up.
I'm going to lay up and put this thing right in the middle of the fairway.
I'm not going between the porta potty and the tree. I'm just going to lay up here.
And I worry that he's going to do a Dirk Cutter bit again. Like a Daryl Bevel or some terrible, like, retread. That's what Daboll would be to me, kind of, in a sense. So it might not be time for him to take a big swing in his own mind. But I want to open up the phones on this because I have two questions, I guess, for people, and I'm really interested and curious about people's thoughts on this. Number one, could you get excited for that? Like, could that move the needle for you? If you're super plugged in and follow coaching stuff in the league, you know that David Blau is a hard-charging, you know, future OC, big-time name, ascending type guy. But even if you're not, this idea in a vacuum of this, you know, person you don't know who was in the building already, who as recently as 6 weeks ago was the assistant quarterbacks coach. That's all he was.
Yeah.
Then Tevita Pritchard got the Stanford job, and he finished for a month as the quarterbacks coach. And now, in that short time, he would go assistant quarterbacks coach to OC and play caller. And you're trying to make the case that he's a better option than Cliff, who's done it for as long as he has. And you'd say, well, that's a really hard sell. Except that they didn't love Cliff because he was too Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little bit of the Cliff stuff with the actual good stuff that we all want, maybe, in David Blau. And he's 30, and you're taking a risk. But you're going young, and you're going with a guy who's been in a lot of different offenses.
Yeah, exactly.
Most importantly, who knows and has a good relationship with Jaden, or do you not care about that?
So, I mean, he was playing as recently as 3 years ago, right? I mean, he was in the NFL. Now, wasn't playing games, but he was a backup under systems and, you know, was raised in this Ben Johnson environment, has seen some of Cliff too. So, you know, he doesn't have his own system just yet, you wouldn't think, but he'll develop that. Pretty sharp offensive mind. The criteria for me should be one sentence long. What's the best thing for Jaden Daniels? Because that's, by transitivity, the best thing for us. And if I decide, if I'm, you know, Adam Peters and company and Dan Quinn, that that's the answer, because you get the comfort, excellent rapport already, presumably, right, that these guys get along. Someone that's, you know, a rock star on the way up, not a guy that's on his way down. Then, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me.
800-636-1067 is the number. I'm throwing David Blau's hat into the ring here. I think he is an interesting option. I think he checks a lot of boxes that I like in terms of relationship with Daniels, smoothing over the transition out of Kingsbury, which for me is important in terms of the transition for Daniels into a more NFL, less collegey offense, which I think could be pretty stark and jarring, making it a little bit less so. I tend to like to go younger and more forethinking, and oftentimes that is synonymous with not just data and analytics driven, but you know, people that are open-minded and you know, can learn new tricks, so to speak. So you've got this 30-year-old first-timer. Could you get excited for that hire, or would you find that to be eye-rolling if Quinn stays in the building and promotes from within? And is that just too much to go assistant QBs to QBs to OC in the span of about 6 weeks? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Grant and Danny? Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. I have floated the idea of David Blough, who's one of the few internal offensive coaches still in the building, that I think are options for Washington. Anthony Lynn, who last had an OC job and play calling role in Detroit, they fired him right before Ben Johnson took over and saved their bacon. To me, that's a non-starter. That doesn't work. Brian Johnson, I am actually interested and intrigued by. The problem with Brian Johnson is it went so horribly in Philadelphia. It was so terrible that if you announce that hiring, the immediate reaction will be, oh, my God, are you kidding me? And then you just have to hope that we're wrong, that he got screwed over by Sirianni in a bad situation and it was just a toxic environment and really he was this brilliant savant of a mind that just didn't get a chance to show it. I know that they were really impressed by him. That week of the red and white game, don't laugh when I say this, but like that burgundy versus gold game they had.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like Darius is cracking, he's cackling over there.
The spring game.
I'm not doing a bit, by the way. Right. They like loved how he prepared his offense, and then his team whooped DeVita Pritchard's team's ass, and like his play calling was silly, and they were like, damn, Brian Johnson just put on a clinic. Now, should that be why he gets a job? It absolutely should.
It can't be, by the way. But it just can't be, I hope.
I just know that they were sized for how he operated that week. But there's one guy. In the building, relationship with Jaden, young, ascending, up-and-comer, year early probably, but if you want to bridge the gap between Cliff and getting to the NFL offensive stuff, recent former quarterback, David Blough, could be really, really interesting. And I'm not going to predict it, but it just would not shock me. That's where I'm at. 800-636-1067. Danny Ruey, could you get excited for that?
I wouldn't. Excited's not the right word. I could see it.
Would you be bothered if that's what
no,
they did?
No, I would. This is far from upset.
So
no.
You'd be cool with it.
I go, okay. I get it. I see where they're coming from here, and that's my minimum level of acceptance.
Would you like it?
I think I would.
I would too.
But I don't think I'd be doing spin kicks. You know what I mean?
What's your spin kicks hire?
That's a great question. Like if you brought me Mike LaFleur. From underneath McVay, because he wants to go call plays.
The only time he's ever called plays was with the Jets, and it was a Shabingus.
It was bad.
You remember Zach Wilson? That was OC.
Yeah, that was Zach Wilson's guy, though.
In fairness, but that's your spin kicks hire?
No, but somebody in that, what's the guy from Jacksonville's name? Udinski?
Grant Udinski.
Yeah, something like that.
I get sized for Grant Udinski.
Where, again, because the OC candidates, most of the guys who are OCs that are worthwhile are going to be head coaches, right? Joe Brady's going to get looks. Clint Kubiak's getting looks. They're not coming here to be the OC.
Here's a question. If Adam Peters goes to offer the job to Grant Udinski, but he accidentally calls me instead, like Bill Belichick with Brian Daboll and Brian Flores, if you remember that, do I legally get to accept the job and then they have to pay me to get rid of me?
I'm going
to
say yes.
Or do I have to sign the contract? Like if he's like, oh, if right. He goes, hey, Grant, I wanted to know if you wanted to be our OC. And I'm like, yes, send the paperwork. And I just hang up.
You're like, that's a verbal contract.
Am I technically the offensive coordinator for a couple of moments? He'd also have to be the first ever offensive coordinator named Grant, right?
I can't think of any others, but that's not an exhaustive list in my dumb brain.
He's 29, which shouldn't necessarily be a reason why I want him hired, but call me the Washington Nationals. I do get sized for a very young up-and-coming coach. David Blough's 30.
Mm-hmm. I'd rather be earlier than late.
Let's go to Usman in New York. What do you think of David Blau? Could that get the juices flowing for you?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah. No, I mean, I see where you guys are coming from. I don't know if the right person's in the building. It wouldn't get me psyched. But I definitely prefer a younger guy like that or Mike LaFleur over your, you know, Matt Nagy, Brian Daboll types. But I had a quick question.
Matt Nagy. Guys, say earmuffs before you throw something like that
out. You can't curse like that on the radio. I mean, yeah. That's
did you
mean.
Dump that, Darius? He just said Matt
disgusting.
Nagy.
Disgusting.
Jesus, dude. There are kids listening to this. My son might be listening.
Delay, so just cut it out.
It's a family show, exactly. Buddy.
Look, make sure that's not in the podcast, please. Cut that out of the podcast. The guy said Matt Nagy.
You just said it. You just said it. He said Matt Stop Nagy. Saying it. It's disgusting. Watch, I'm
they're
sorry.
They're going to hire Matt Nagy.
Well, God forbid.
We did segments
God
like forbid. This about Dan Quinn, by the way. Lest we forget. I'm just chuckling over the idea of Dan Quinn becoming the head coach. Anyway, what's up?
I'm sorry, buddy.
So quick question. I mean, like, firing the two coordinators, you're kind of burning the ships already, and Dan Quinn seems to be in a lame duck. I mean, why not, from an Adam Peters perspective, like, you have a two-time Coach of the Year candidate out there in Kevin Stefanski, who, you know, made gold out of Case Keenum and Dalvin Cook years ago. Like, why not consider just, like, dumping the whole thing and bringing him in, if that's out there? Because we have a rookie contract here. We're kind of wasting it by keeping Dan Quinn for another year and then doing this thing all over again.
So this is one
You're
of those
crazy.
Things that is not a stupid thing to say. It's just not the world we live in. It's not a thing. It's not going to happen. It's not a reality. That's not what they're doing. Also, it's not a crazy thing to say. Hey, John Harbaugh is a better coach than the guy you have. Should that be considered? Hey, Kevin Stefanski is probably a better coach than the guy you have. Should you don't get many chances at this. The Jaden Daniels becoming the best player possible is all that matters ever for you. Should you do the thing that maybe gives him the best chance to? But while I acknowledge that, I separate it and just say it's not the realm that there is another alternate reality. You know, there is another, what's the world, a word? Multiverse?
Multiverse, sliding doors piece.
Where you just, like, nothing matters and there's no media to deal with and you just do things unilaterally. This ain't that. You know, you told Dan Quinn he's safe. Ownership has given him another year. You've blamed it on the coordinators, and now he gets one more shot at getting this thing right. Sorry.
I'd buy a burner phone and call John Harbaugh and just ask. If it's me, though.
You said that to me earlier. You said you would, like, in a world where you ran everything, you'd fire Quinn and hire Harbaugh.
Instantly.
But you would not do that for Stefanski, which was interesting to me.
No, there's enough bad for him over the last couple of years where there's more stank on Stefanski. I think he can coach. I think he's really good.
Harbaugh's really good, too, but he's also kind of got some Flacco to him. Like, he was lucky to be with the Ravens a lot.
I think that's fair. There's so much winning. I'll find out that he was fool's gold after a long time.
I'm not trying to do a gotcha bit, but your least favorite coach ever is Mike McCarthy. They literally have the same resume. Record, Super Bowl, like the exact same resume. One of them had Rodgers, the other one had another multi-time MVP. You hate Mike McCarthy. Acknowledge that it's because he's fat. Acknowledge that it's because you don't like people that are overweight.
No. You got that all wrong. You got it all wrong. It's
why
not
do you
why.
Love John Harbaugh, but you hate the guy that has every other number exactly like his?
It's the consistent, unbelievable amounts of winning and stability. I like that. Whereas McCarthy.
McCarthy has the exact same career.
McCarthy had one of the five best quarterbacks ever to live. And blew
Lamar,
leads.
You mean?
No, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
And blew lead after lead after lead. The inability to get timeouts right, the sort of, you know, everything from challenges to we're going to talk it over with our dumb Pennsylvania accent. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's the Pennsylvania accent.
You don't
accent.
Like him because he's a yinzer.
He's a yinzer. Maybe that's it.
That's inappropriate.
Maybe that's it.
That guy won 12 games every year with the Cowboys.
Harbaugh does nothing but the correct mechanical stuff. Him and Vrabel. Like, I care about that so much more than everybody else does.
All right. I want to hit the phones on this hard next. I want your opinion, people. I'm touching the masses. This should be our poll of the day. This should be our poll of the day on the Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll board over at 106.7 The Fan. Let Metropolitan Moving and Storage get you squared away. Local, long distance, residential, commercial, 3 decades, best in class service and experience. David Blau, the former assistant quarterbacks coach, now quarterbacks coach, if they hired him as their OC, would you be excited by that? Grant and Danny on The Fan.